First, the Driftless region of Wisconsin is well known for its picturesque farms and its rivers and streams. A group of farmers in Crawford and Vernon counties has been meeting regularly to talk about how to improve their operations and protect those local waterways. The Tainter Creek Farmer-Led Watershed Council, part of the Valley Stewardship Network, has been bringing farmers together to swap ideas about maintaining water quality and giving younger farmers access to the knowledge of those who've been working in the area for generations. Danny Heisler-Woodle is the Regenerative Agriculture Outreach Coordinator for the Valley Stewardship Network based in Viroqua. Danny, thanks a lot for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rob, for having us.
And Barrett Froyland is a farmer who's been involved with the council since it got started in 2016. Barrett, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Well, Barrett, you've been involved, I understand, with the group since its beginning. How did it get started?
A bunch of leaders from our area were contacted from Valley Stewardship Network, the local Land and Water Conservation Department, and some NRCS folks, and just wanted to see if there was any interest in starting a watershed council. So we had kind of the first couple of meetings, not really knowing what it was supposed to be about. But we kind of slowly grew it, and it was slowly explained to us through that. It also helped that in 2016 there was also a pretty significant rainfall event that happened in our watershed, 10 inches in probably less than a few hours. So everything was, all the timing was just right, and we kind of kept building on from there.
Danny, can you talk about the importance of having farmers involved in, you know, making these decisions and making these plans when it comes to preserving water quality?
Absolutely. So, I mean, as we know, water and water quality are critical for successful livestock and crop production. So really being at the forefront and being able to recognize the practices that farmers put into effect and being able to see the effects of what they're doing, they've made excellent stewards of kind of this program and sharing their knowledge and sharing any potential changes and being able to kind of showcase that throughout the other watersheds and the knowledge that they have.
And Barrett, Danny mentioned the word steward there. Do you think of yourself as a farmer, as a steward of, well, the soil, of course, and the water in your area?
Absolutely. We're just trying to protect what we have. We've heard of some horror stories going the other way, and I think everybody in our watershed and really most farmers view ourselves as stewards of the land. If we don't have that, we really don't have any way to move forward.
And Danny, this is organized around a watershed, not along, you know, county or town or whatever boundaries. Why is that important?
Right. So the watershed, our specific watershed, the Tainter Creek, it feeds into the Kickapoo, and we recognize that we're, you know, at the forefront of being able to make changes and affect the water quality all the way down, right? And as the waters continue to feed out, so really realizing that this is kind of the ground level, and any encouragement of regenerative practices and changes that happen here will continue to have compound effects as the water continues to move south all the way to the Gulf. So, you know, farmers here have really grasped that concept and appreciate that they're making a change. And so it's really kind of the real grassroots efforts right here in the Tainter Creek.
We're talking about the Tainter Creek Farmer-Led Watershed Council in southwestern Wisconsin. Danny Heisler-Woodle and Barrett Froyland are with us. So, Barrett, this involves meetings, as I understand it, every couple months, often on somebody's farm. Can you take us into one of these meetings? What is it like?
Really, it's pretty informal. Just getting a group of guys together. We've had as few as three people show up, but lately we've been having really good turnouts. Usually, if it's on somebody's farm, we'll have a kind of a farm walkover just to see what you're trying. If they're trying some cover crops or trying some different pasturing techniques, just in taking a look at their operation and kind of getting everybody some ideas and thinking of what they can take back to their own farm. And then kind of from there, there's usually a little bit of business or discussion of some meetings that we might be holding in the future. Of course, that's changed a little bit this year, but for the most part, it's just kind of a very open conversation amongst landowners on what they're trying and what's worked, what hasn't, and kind of going from there.
Yeah, Berent, how have you been doing these meetings, if at all, during COVID when you're probably not getting together in person? Or maybe, I don't know, maybe you're staying 6 feet apart out in the farmland. I don't know.
Yep. Well, so for the most part, we didn't have a meeting for probably a good 3-4 months. And then here lately, we've just been having pretty much open air where we can kind of keep our social distance as best we can. Just kind of having some meetings, kind of out in the open air, nothing really enclosed. So it's kind of helped us, and it feels like a field trip. So we're able to get out and stretch our legs for sure.
Danny, Berent mentioned cover crops. What are some of the other regenerative agricultural approaches that people are talking about and swapping in these meetings?
Right. So there's folks that attend these meetings that have been farming for multi-generations, and some that are just trying to get established and determine where their place is in agriculture. So regenerative practices look different for everyone, right? Whether it might just be incorporating waterways, widening waterways, looking at taking some of the nominal farm ground out and making that into permanent pasture. And even sometimes it's kind of putting fence around some of our crop grounds so that allows us to plant cover crops and use them for late season grazing or spring grazing. It's really just kind of that shift in how we're using our land and, you know, optimizing that for our land type, right? Everybody has a little bit different topography and soil, and so it's really kind of pairing our management a little bit closer to what's going to work well to take care of the soil, and that treats us well in return.
Berent, can you tell us a little bit about your own operation? What are you growing and or raising, and what kind of things have you been experimenting with?
For the most part, we've been slowly transitioning from dairy to crops. So basically right now on our farm, we mainly have corn and beans with a little bit of hay. And we're trying some different cover crop options. I think this year we're looking at a few different species mix. But just slowly kind of getting into the cover crop game and seeing what we can do and what works well for us.
And we've mentioned cover crops a few times. Berent, can you tell us a little bit about, for the non-farmers listening, what are cover crops? What are their value for keeping the soil on the land there?
For the most part, and in our area, really rye is one of the few that are working so far. So basically, we're putting the rye down or putting a crop down just to kind of for that root structure to kind of hold the soil in place. Some guys are using that as forage later, but for the most part, just looking to hold the soil and hold the nutrients in the soil so it's not running down and hitting Tainer Creek or further on down the line.
Danny, I know your eyes are on this watershed in particular with this group, but are you looking at this as a model for maybe other watersheds around the state or around the Midwest?
Right. So there's been a really good initiative by DATCAP to encourage more producer-led watershed groups throughout the state. And I think that's been very successful that way. And with our own organization, Valley Stewardship Network, we've been able to kind of use Tainer Creek as a little bit of a model to learn how to get this established, what works, what appeals to farmers, and the hope is that we can still continue to grow this amongst other watersheds that also feed into the Kickapoo and into our area here.
Berent, in our last half a minute or so, a farmer might be out there listening, thinking, wait a minute, I get to go to extra meetings? What? Can you give a little pep talk for people to try this, something like this, maybe in their own part of the state?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just kind of enjoying what you have around you. I know we're very proud of the Tainer Creek and of our natural beauty. So we like to see what we have, and we like to see it improved. So for the most part, just looking to preserve what we got and kind of move forward from there.
We'll leave it there, Berent. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yes, thank you very much.
And Danny, thanks for being with us.
Yes, thank you.
We've been talking to Danny Heisler-Woodle and Barrett Froiland. They're members of the Tainter Creek Farmer-Led Watershed Council in southwestern Wisconsin. They talked to us today about the ideas that farmers in the area are sharing and how they're working to protect their local waterways. Well, if you are involved in agriculture yourself, if you're a farmer, a local extension agent, or involved in projects like this, want to hear what you are doing. Are you trying, experimenting with, as Barrett was, different cover crops to keep your soil on the land and to protect surrounding waterways? Or is there something else you're doing to try to protect water quality in your part of the state? Let us know. Send us an email, ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org.